Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday, 1 Kings, 25 January, 2005.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Scriptures to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you again for your magnificent grace. We thank you, sir, for another day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're living in times of apostasy, and we're living in times that are unique for this country. When we have men, so many liberal politicians who aid and abet the enemy while we're in a time of war. The Harry Reids, the Ted Kennedys, the John Kerrys, and all of that ilk aid and abet the enemy every time they undermine our war effort, undermine what is going on in Iraq, the fight on terrorism around the world. But they're right along with them is the mainstream media, and the mainstream media is aiding and abetting the enemy. Our own people, our own media, aiding and abetting the enemy. Al Jazeera is not even allowed in Iraq. The Iraqi people know that Al Jazeera is there just to undermine democracy and freedom in that nation. It's not even allowed in Iraq. So where does Al Jazeera get their news? They're hooked up to CNN, which tells us a lot about CNN. Elite Iranian agent arrested in Iraq, January 22nd. An agent of Iran's prestigious Jerusalem force was arrested in Iraq, carrying money and planning attacks against U.S. troops. U.S. coalition forces arrested members of an underground armed group operating in Iraq's eastern Diyala province Thursday. Among them was a senior member of the Jerusalem force carrying $150,000 in cash. The Iranian agent, along with an Iraqi insurgent, reportedly revealed during interrogation the location of a group of other Iranian agents working with them, and admitted to having smuggled the group and their weapons through the Iran-Iraq border, avoiding security controls. The Jerusalem Force is a specialized elite unit of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps that reportedly oversees Iran's military activities in other countries. The arrest followed the confession earlier this week of Colonel Mayad al-Nasseri, an insurgent leader and former head of Saddam Hussein's Army of Muhammad, who told U.S. interrogators Iran was the principal financer of the insurgency in Iraq. Al-Nasseri's confession was broadcast on an Iraqi television station operating from the United Arab Emirates, Al-Faya TV, and translated by the Middle East Media Research Institute. Quote, many factions of the resistance are receiving aid from the neighboring countries, Al-Nasseri said. We in the Army of Muhammad, the fighting has been going on for almost 2 years now, and there must be aid. And this aid came from the neighboring countries. We got aid primarily from Iran. The truth is that Iran has played a significant role in supporting the Army of Muhammad and many factions of the resistance. I have some units, especially in southern Iraq, which receive Iranian aid in the form of arms and equipment. Al-Nasseri also said another resistance group actually traveled to Iran to pick up arms and cash and to meet with the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. As for other factions of the resistance, I have reliable information regarding the National Islamic Resistance, which is one of the factions of resistance led by Colonel Asi al-Hadith. He sent a delegation to Iran from among the people of the faction, including General Khalaf and General Qadir. They were sent to Iran in April or May and met with Iranian intelligence and with a number of Iranian leaders and even with Khamenei himself. Al-Nasseri said the group picked up $1 million and cars full of weapons. They still have a very close relationship with Iran, he said. They receive money, cars, weapons, and many things. And according to my information, they even got car bombs. All of this out of Iran. Iran leaders call for anti-U.S. martyrs, urging students to sacrifice themselves as suicide attackers. In recent speeches, Iranian political leader Ali Khamenei and Revolutionary Guards General Shabani praised the culture of martyrdom and jihad and urged students to become martyrs themselves in order to resist enemies, particularly the United States. The statements were translated by the Middle East Media Research Institute, or MEMRI. Speaking to the 8th Congress on Martyred Students, Khamenei said Iran's enemies have tried to humiliate and diminish the value of martyrdom and the culture of jihad in the eyes of the youth, particularly students. He explained that martyrdom, or shahada, means the giving of one's greatest material asset for an ideal, the revival and fertilization of which are for the good of humanity. You're right. This is one of the most beautiful human values, he said. And when this ideal is pleasing to Allah as well, and is the aspiration of all Allah's messengers, this value is the supreme human virtue and cannot be measured by any material criterion. This is from the leader of the nation of Iran. Khamenei urged students to continue to promote the culture of jihad and martyrdom among themselves as a source of national strength and a characteristic of pure worship. When we encounter the name of a student who committed martyrdom, we are confident that the acceptance of martyrdom and of the jihad that led to his martyrdom stemmed from the martyr's self-awareness and clear desire, and this intensifies the value of the act, Khamenei said. Sanctify and praise your exalted martyrs and place your trust in the help and support of Allah. He said Iran is the third largest power in the region in the field of ballistic missile production following China and Russia. Shabani said Iran must educate and train forces ready to commit martyrdom attacks in order to counter the enemy. In the event of a war with the U.S., we must fight them asymmetrically. He said, as of now, we have manufactured weapon systems and we have attained nuclear capabilities. What has caused the U.S. great concern is the fact that the Iranian young attained this technology by themselves. Shabani stressed the need to be prepared always for the enemy's moves. Through its plans, the U.S. is trying to generate a change in the behavior of Iran's high-ranking officials, and it is aware that it will not succeed in doing so through a military offensive, he said. If the enemy wants to put Iran in danger, we will have the enemy with no security whatsoever. Shabani said the U.S. has mobilized all its equipment and forces in the region in order to pressure Iran. Well, President Bush hit it right on the head in his last 4 years, and that was that Iran was one of the trilogy of evil, the nations of evil. That was true then, it is true now. All right. Doctrine of following the Lord, we're in the process of a revision. Point one in the doctrine, all people in all nations are commanded to follow the Lord, and that's in 1 Kings 18:21. And the address given by Elijah on Mount Carmel. And then point two, to follow the Lord is first of all means to believe in Jesus Christ, John chapter 10, 1 to 18. And then the new point three is that Jesus commands the rich young ruler to follow him into eternal salvation in Matthew 19, 16 to 26. And the rich young ruler, therefore, illustrates the unbeliever who does not follow Christ into eternal salvation. So the unbeliever who does not follow Christ into eternal salvation, he does not obey the Lord's command to follow him. That is, he does not believe in Jesus Christ, is illustrated by the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, 16 to 26. And this is a very important passage that has a lot of important concepts and principles. And so Matthew chapter 19, 16 to 26. Now a man came up to Jesus and he asked, "Teacher," and right away we recognize that here is an unbeliever. He does not see Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He does not see Jesus Christ as God's eternal Son. He does not see Jesus Christ as God. He only sees him as a man, and he only sees him as an instructor or a teacher. "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" His interest is, what has to be done so that you go to heaven? What has to be done to have eternal life, to live with God in heaven? Jesus answers, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and he said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." This is a phenomenal passage. And when we look at the rich young ruler here, he's very young, he's extremely wealthy. Well, let's put him in the billionaire class, since we're living in times of inflation. Very young man and a multi-billionaire. This rich young ruler made four mistakes, each of which was answered by the Lord with absolute truth and grace. Grace and truth. His first mistake was about the person of Christ. In verse 16, he addresses Jesus Christ as Didaskalos. Aha. Sometimes I get a little bit ahead of the machine here. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. Didaskalos. And this is the word teacher. In fact, the spiritual gift of pastor teacher is poimen didaskalos. Ephesians 4:11. One spiritual gift of communication, pastor teacher. That's the word didaskalos. And here, this rich young ruler addresses Christ as didaskalos, teacher. In other words, he only views Christ as a teacher. Jesus Christ answers in verse 17, that there is only one who is good. And that is the Greek word agathos, which looks like this, A-G-A-T-H-O-S, that which is intrinsically good. And Jesus Christ says there is only one who is intrinsically good. And that is God. And so Christ is telling the rich young ruler, you're wrong. I'm not simply a didaskalos. I am God. Jesus Christ is telling the rich young ruler, you are wrong in your assessment about who and what I am. I am God. There's only one who is good, and that is God. And I am God, not just a good man, not just a good teacher. And you, of course, you understand. You can't say Christ is a good man. Either he is who he claims to be, he's God, or he is a mental case. He's schizophrenic. He belongs in a mental institution. He's a crazy man. He's not a good man. He's either crazy, schizophrenic, belonging in a mental hospital, or he is who he claims to be, God. So he totally missed this. Jesus Christ says there is only one who is good, and that is God, intrinsically good, God. There's only one member of humanity who is intrinsically good, and that is the God-man, Jesus Christ. All the rest of humanity is totally depraved, spiritually dead. This young man's only hope for salvation must begin with the fact that Jesus Christ is God, and that's the only way any man's salvation can begin is with Jesus Christ as God. And that's where those two Jehovah's Witnesses, why they weren't saved. They came to my door and knocked because Jesus Christ is not God to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus Christ is not the eternal God to Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus Christ is not the eternal Son of God. He is not a member of the Trinity. God is one in essence and three in personality. Jesus Christ is not Jehovah. And therefore, there is no hope for salvation on anyone who does not see that Jesus Christ is God. First of all, you got to know he's God. Only God can provide salvation. The God-man, Jesus Christ. His only hope for salvation depends on him recognizing who and what Christ is. The rich young ruler thinks that if he does a certain good thing, and this is the Jewish mind according to the distortion of the Mosaic law, that if you do a certain good thing or a number of certain good things, that you will have the righteousness that qualifies you to go to heaven to have eternal salvation and live with God. But Christ is declaring to him the principle of Romans 3, 9-18, where Paul teaches, there is no one who is good, not even one. There is no one who is righteous, not even one. And that's exactly what Christ has just said here. Christ summed up Romans 3, 9-18, right in this statement. There's only one who is good, and that's God. There is none, Paul says, who is good. Not even one. There is none that is righteous. Not even one. All mankind is totally depraved. We're spiritually dead. We need a Savior. And that's why Christ said this. To get his eyes on the fact on God. To get his eyes on the fact that, one, he's totally depraved and he needs a Savior. And that Savior is God, and that Savior standing right before him, the one good member of the human race, the God-man Jesus Christ. The divine viewpoint is that man is totally depraved, and therefore he needs a Savior, and the only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is intrinsically good because he is God. To enter into heaven, one must be as good as God is, and that is he must have God's righteousness, which comes only by faith in Christ, Romans 4, 5. The Lord, at this point, waited for a response from the ruler to see if he would affirm his belief that Jesus Christ is God. But he didn't respond. And when the man did not reply, then Christ indicated that life in God's kingdom can be entered only if one is righteous. And since the official standard of righteousness was the Mosaic Law, Christ told the man to obey the commandments. If you obey them all, then you're righteous and you're qualified for heaven. The Lord stated this because of the man's second mistake that he made. His second mistake is that salvation is by works. His second mistake was that eternal life could be earned by works, verses 17 to 19. Which ones, obey the commandments, Christ says, which ones, the man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. Christ answered this by confronting the man with the high demands of the Mosaic Law, the divine law. And since the official standard of righteousness is found in the law of Moses, Jesus told the man to obey the commandments. The rich young ruler thought that salvation could be attained by keeping the commandments of the Mosaic Law. However, no one ever has and no one ever will be saved by keeping the commandments of the Mosaic Law. And Jesus Christ knows this. He just wants the rich young ruler to come to objectivity and recognize the fact that he is spiritually dead, a sinner who needs a Savior. He obviously isn't there. And this is the problem with people who go to church. There are so many people that go to church and in churches just like this rich young ruler. They think they are the cat's meow. They think they're so damn good and they're totally depraved. And every one of you here, totally depraved. Every one of you. Not me. Moi? Yes. Every one of you. Totally depraved. Save for the grace of God and your faith in Christ, you're absolutely no different. This guy's totally depraved. But people who go to church and get involved in religion, they just don't see it. They see everybody else's failures and flaws, but they never see theirs. And we have a lot of people that go to church today and they're involved in cults. They're involved in denominations. And they're not even saved. They think they're moral. They follow the Ten Commandments. They probably would answer like the rich young ruler. Why, I don't murder. I don't steal. I honor my parents. I think I love everybody. Yep, I'm going to heaven. But Galatians 2:16 says, but we know that a man does not receive justification. He's not declared righteous by the works of the law. Rather, he is declared righteous by faith in Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus for the purpose that we might receive justification, being declared righteous by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, nobody shall be justified. You know, and that's the sad thing about these Christian schools you have all over the country, including here in Las Vegas. You got these kids going to school, their parents put them in these Christian schools, and what do they get there? Nothing but garbage. Absolutely nothing but religious garbage. And they wind up being the most self-righteous jackasses you've ever met. It's the worst thing you can do for your kids. They wind up in a whole system of self-righteousness and works, and I go to a Christian school. You know what? Those Christian schools have suicides and everything else. They have drugs, suicides. Why? There's no spirituality there. There's no spiritual life there. There's no Bible doctrine there. There's no spiritual gift of communication there. Just a lot of self-righteousness, evil, garbage. They can barely even pull out. They're in a nosedive and they don't even know it. Just like the rich young ruler. He's in a nosedive and he doesn't even know it. And he doesn't pull out. He crashes and burns. Romans 3:20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. What is the purpose of the Mosaic Law? To point out that we're totally depraved, we're sinners, and we need a Savior. To point out that we can't keep it. That's why Christ named all these things. He named all these things to tell the rich young ruler, you are a sinner and you need a Savior. But you see, you got to know you're a sinner to seek salvation. You got to know you're sick to go to a doctor. If you think you're well, do you go to a doctor? No. A lot of you don't want to go to a doctor anytime. And I don't blame you anymore. Who wants to go to a doctor? But you hurt bad enough, you will go. You get enough aches and pains and this and that, you'll go. Because you know you're sick and you know you need a doctor. You got to know you're a sinner in order to seek salvation in Jesus Christ. So Christ is saying, all right, here's the Mosaic Law. Here's the commandments. Obviously, if you keep them all, yes, then you qualify to be in heaven because you have met the righteousness of God. But no human being has kept them all except one, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's kept them all. None of us have, and the rich young ruler hasn't. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Acts 13:39, and through him, Christ, everyone who believes is justified, declared righteous, freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Philippians 3:9, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, self-righteousness derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. James 2:10 declares, whoever fulfills the entire law. Let's say you have fulfilled the entire Mosaic law, but you stumble in one commandment. Just one. Then he has become guilty of all. If you keep the whole law, but you fail in one commandment, you're guilty of all. You're spiritually dead. That's why Christ named these things. Now, Christ is God. He knows what he's going to answer. And this is unbelievable, the answer he gives. Verse 20, all these I have kept. Liar. He hasn't kept them all. You know, and that's the thing with self-righteous people. They are so out of whack, they have deceived themselves to the point they can't even see themselves what they really are. They're self-righteous in moral degeneracy. They are the scum of the earth and they can't even see it. He says, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? Well, he hasn't kept them all, and Jesus Christ points that out in verse 21. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. One of the primary purposes of the Mosaic Law is to demonstrate to man that he is a sinner, spiritually dead, and needs a Savior. Romans 3:20, because by the works of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. This is how Christ is using the Mosaic Law with this young man. Through the law is the knowledge of sin. He hasn't recognized that he is a sinner. He hasn't come to the knowledge of sin in his own life. He does not think he's spiritually dead. He does not think he's a sinner. And therefore he doesn't realize that he needs a Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Now that brings us to the third mistake that he made. His third mistake was about himself. And you know, that's the thing with self-righteous people. They always make a mistake about themselves. They're so busy getting the splinter out of somebody else's eye, they don't see the log in their own eye. They always make a mistake about themselves. One, he thought that he had kept the Mosaic Law. Wrong. Again, self-righteous breath. Johnny Carson died. Is he in heaven? Only if he has believed in Christ. If he believed in Christ, he's in heaven. If he's not, he is in torments and will wind up in the lake of fire. But the issue is, did he believe in Christ as his Savior? Johnny Carson, everybody knows who Johnny Carson is if you have a TV. Everybody enjoyed him. He was funny. It was a good show to watch. Funny show to watch. A lot of times, very funny. When I was in college, we used to love watching on the end of the New Year's. They'd always show at the end of the year the funniest things over his career. And there were some more funny, like old Ed Ames taking that hatchet and hitting the profile right in the... And I guess that was the record for longest sustained laughter. Just, you know, Ed Ames had a little Indian background and... And they lost it. And then I love the one with George Gobel. Remember George Gobel? Dean Martin? I forget who else was there, but George Gobel sitting on Dean Martin's lap. And they're smoking cigars. Everybody's smoking a cigar. And they have a drink. Smoking a cigar and they have a drink in their hand. and George Gobel's telling a joke. And the joke isn't even funny. But Dean Martin is knocking his ashes in George Gobel's drink all the time he's telling the joke. And everybody is laughing, and Johnny Carson's falling out of a chair. And George Gobel thinks it's his joke. And then he takes a drink and goes on telling his joke. And that shows how bad it was that whatever he was drinking. You can't tell the difference between ashes and the drink. And that's the way a lot of whiskey is, by the way, scotch and all that stuff. You can't tell if you're drinking ashes or alcohol. Well, he thought he kept the Mosaic Law. That Johnny Carson that came in there. See, you don't know how long you're going to live, but you're not going to live forever. He thought he kept the Mosaic Law. Verse 20, I have kept all these too. It is impossible for any member of the human race to keep the Mosaic Law. To keep the commandments, all of them. It is impossible. 3, you have to be perfect to keep the Mosaic Law. You have to be sinless perfection. You have to be impeccable. And no one is impeccable or sinless perfection except God. Christ knows this, and Christ knows that the only member of humanity who ever kept the law is himself, because he's the God-man. 4. The Mosaic Law reveals the integrity of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the justice of God. Five, God provided the Mosaic Law to point out to the human race that we are all sinners and spiritually dead. And also to point us to Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior who can justify us, who can declare us righteous. Six, the Mosaic Law reveals the integrity of God in 3 ways. In the Mosaic Law, you have 3 categories. You have the commandments, the ordinances, and the judgments. And these 3 parts of the Mosaic Law reveal the integrity of God in 3 ways. First of all, the commandments. The commandments reveal condemnation from the justice of God. It points out that we're all sinners. We're all spiritually dead. So the commandments point out that we can't keep the commandments. We're sinners. We come under the condemnation of the justice of God. Second, the ordinances reveal salvation. It points us to Christ, to salvation from the justice of God. And third, the judgments reveal establishment truth. So the Mosaic Law reveals the integrity of God in these in 3 ways. Condemnation, commandments revealing that we are sinners, spiritually dead, under condemnation from the justice of God. The ordinances revealing Christ and salvation from the justice of God, and the judgments revealing establishment truth. 7. If the Mosaic Law is to be fulfilled, then the integrity of God must be fulfilled perfectly. If the Mosaic Law is to be fulfilled, then the integrity of God must be fulfilled perfectly. To fulfill the Mosaic Law, you would have to be impeccable, perfect. You would have to have the holiness of God. 8. There is only one member of true humanity who has fulfilled the Mosaic Law perfectly, and that is the God-man There is only one member of true humanity who has fulfilled the Mosaic law perfectly, the God-man Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:17. Matthew 5:17. Turn over to Matthew 5, verse 17. Red letter edition. Christ is speaking, and he says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." He came to fulfill them perfectly. Nine. Therefore, Jesus Christ is the end of the Mosaic Law. Jesus Christ is the end of the Mosaic Law. Romans 10:4. Turn over to Romans 10:4. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. 10. Jesus Christ in his humanity had perfect character, perfect integrity, and therefore perfect virtue love. And consequently, he fulfilled the integrity of the Mosaic law completely. 10. Jesus Christ in his humanity had perfect character, perfect integrity, and therefore perfect virtue love. He was sinless perfection. Consequently, he fulfilled the integrity of the Mosaic law completely. Christ is the only one who could answer how this rich young ruler answered. The rich young ruler can't answer this way. He can't answer that way. But Christ can. The only one who could say that he's kept all of these is Jesus Christ. He did keep all of them. 11. Christ fulfilled Codex number 1. By living the spiritual life perfectly on earth during the first advent, he did not sin once. No mental attitude sin, no sin of the tongue, no overt sin. Not one sin. And of course, after seeing the passion of the Christ, that's one of the, I think, the most powerful things about that movie is that only God could go through what Christ went through and not sin. Only God could go through all of that. A world record of unfair and undeserved suffering and not sin. No mental attitude sin, no sin of the tongue, no overt sin. In fact, he was praying for those who were bringing all of this upon him. That wasn't even taking into account the imputation of all of the world's sins to him. And I thought that was the weak part of the movie. The weak part of the movie is that they missed the most powerful moment of all. It was a supernatural darkness, not just a storm. And for 3 hours, billions and billions of sins were poured on him and judged in him, and he screamed and screamed and screamed over and over again, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you are holy. Because our sins are imputed to Christ and the Father's judging our sins in Christ. That is the point of salvation. There's all the power of salvation. I know the beatings were terrible, but not one of those beatings provided salvation. Not one of them. The nailing of the nails through the hands and the feet did not provide salvation. The thorns on the head. All of but the horrific beatings he took in having to carry his crossbeam, none of that provided salvation. It was after he was on the cross and God supernaturally brought a darkness over the land and imputed our sins to Christ and judged our sins. That is what provided the salvation. And as horrible as the physical beatings were, they were nothing. They were absolutely nothing compared to what he had to endure when our sins were poured out on him and our sins were judged in him. Then he screamed and screamed and screamed over and over, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the weak part. Christ fulfilled Codex number 1 by living the spiritual life perfectly on earth during the first Advent, sinless perfection. 12. He fulfilled Codex number 2, the ordinances, by his death on the cross, his spiritual death. Those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m., when our sins were poured out on him and judged. And then the physical death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father. 13, he fulfilled Codex number 3, the judgments, by his perfect observance of the laws of divine establishment. Integrity combined with genuine humility. For the rich young ruler to say that he had kept the commandments is to say in effect that he is God. You can't get any more arrogant than that. Here is a young man, a billionaire, standing before God himself, and in effect he says to God, whom he views as just a man, I am God. But that's the way self-righteous people think and function. 15. This demonstrates the extreme self-righteousness and arrogance of those individuals who think they are saved by who and what they are and what they do. This demonstrates the extreme self-righteousness and arrogance of those individuals who think they are saved by who and what they are and what they do. His arrogance has blinded him to his own failure and blinded him to his own total depravity. Why, even in making the statement, all these I have kept, he sinned. Because he hasn't kept all these. He lies. But you see, when you're self-righteous, you're so full of deception, you deceive yourself. You can't even see yourself for what you really are. And you justify your own arrogance and self-righteousness. 17. Therefore, Jesus Christ answered him in such a way as to open his eyes to his failures, to his sins, to his total depravity. In verses 21 and 22. What Christ says next is to show that what he just said was a total lie. Christ knew he was going to say this, "All these things I have kept." And at this point, now for the first time, he's going to see his total depravity. Christ answered him in such a way as to open his eyes to his sins, to his total depravity. Verses 21 and 22. 18. The rich young ruler failed several commandments. First of all, he failed the first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3. He failed Exodus 20, verse 3, the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." And you see, Jesus Christ knew that his God was the almighty dollar. But that's nothing new. There are so many people in this country, their God is the almighty dollar. We got the yuppie generation. Their God is money. And Jesus Christ recognized that. He says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. Come follow me, God. Now you can choose between God or your money. What's more important? What is your God? Jesus Christ or your wealth? You can choose. He made it real clear. Who's your God, young man? Because I am God, and I just gave you a command, follow me, which was a command to believe in Jesus Christ, command to eternal salvation. Jesus Christ graciously offered him eternal life through faith in him. No, his God is his money. And that's why when the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. And his God was his wealth. He loved his money more than God. His money was his God. His wealth was his God. He failed the 10th commandment. The commandment of coveting. He coveted his wealth more than God. He failed at the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. He coveted his wealth more than God. 21. He failed the summary commandment. He did not love his neighbors as himself. He did not love his neighbor. You see the love your neighbor as yourself? He did not love his neighbor as himself. He was extremely wealthy. And he loved his wealth, and he loved all that it provided for him. It provided, he thought, everything he needed. It provided all the solutions to everything. He had all the comforts. He had a lot of... He enjoyed his life, and he enjoyed... He didn't want that to change. He did not love his neighbor as himself. He was extremely self-righteous. He was preoccupied with himself and his riches and wealth. But his fourth mistake is the worst of all. He did not believe in Jesus Christ. He did not follow Christ. The fourth mistake was that he did not believe in Jesus Christ. He did not follow Christ. He is the illustration for mankind, for those who do not follow Christ, who do not believe in Christ as their Savior. One, he did not follow Christ's command to come and follow me. Gave him the command, follow me. Verse 21, then come and follow me. Two, this was the most tragic mistake of all. It's the most tragic mistake that any member of the human race can ever make, because Christ says this to all mankind. Every single member of the human race. There's an American who's being held hostage. These things that are going on, we knew was going to go on at this time. Next week is the free elections. It's the last gap. They've been destroyed. The enemy's been destroyed and defeated all over Iraq. They had a holdout in Fallujah. It's been destroyed. They had a holdout in Najaf. It's been destroyed. Thousands and thousands have been killed. They're on a final attempt before the total destruction. The only thing is, they listen to the Harry Reids of Nevada, who aid and abet the enemy, and they keep on. They hear Ted Kennedy. They hear John Kerry. And so they keep on. Every time an American comes home in a casket, we can thank leaders like Harry Reid, Kennedy, and Kerry. They're aiding and abetting the enemy, along with the media. What the media is doing over there in Iraq and reporting back, they're traitors. The picture they're painting, yeah, those things that are going on, yeah, they're there. But there are so many things going on that is right, and none of it's being reported. When the seven Marines were killed in the suicide bomb, seven Marines were killed, 50 terrorists were killed by the Marines. How many of you read about the 50 terrorists who were killed? 50 terrorists killed by the Marines. And in the process, we had 7 casualties. That's evil. That's horrible. This person is being held hostage. It is a very evil thing. They are evil people. Every member of the human race has an opportunity. Jesus Christ says to everyone in the human race, follow me. God loved the world so much, he sent his uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Because the world has a problem, and there's only one hope for the world, and that's Christ. Yes, it's horrible. For the family to see a husband being held hostage with a gun to his head, and knowing the anguish that's going through his soul. But every person is accountable, first of all, to God, to follow Christ. For the one who believes in Christ, there is everlasting life. The greatest mistake anybody can ever make is to fail to heed this commandment, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the most tragic mistake of all. Point three. The Lord Jesus Christ extended His matchless grace in salvation to this man, and he rejected it. The Lord Jesus Christ extended His matchless grace in salvation to this man, and he rejected it. For the man was trusting in himself and his wealth rather than the Lord. He was trusting in his self-righteousness. He was trusting in his religion. He was trusting in his wealth, but he was not trusting in the Lord. Five. In the Lord's explanation to the disciples, he made it clear that salvation is never won by human works, but that with God all things are possible, even the salvation of those who are self-righteous and love their riches. You see, that's what that statement means there, at the end. I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible. It is impossible for man to be saved by his self-righteous works like this rich young ruler was trying to do. It's impossible for any man to be saved by his self-righteous works, his religion, his religious works. But with God, all things are possible, even the salvation of those who love their self-righteousness and their wealth. Salvation is by grace. We can't save ourselves. That's impossible. We can't be saved by our own good works. That's impossible. But God can save us through grace, through faith in Christ. Six, salvation has always been by God's grace to the sinner through his faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice. Salvation has always been by God's grace to the sinner through his faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice. Seven, in every dispensation throughout all of human history, salvation is always the same. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Father, we thank you for your magnificent grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.